2020's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson. Live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios, all your plumbing needs, check him out at GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he is Bobby Nightingale Jr., Reds beat writer for The Inquirer. Bobby, thanks a lot for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, caught our eye, obviously, with what Cincinnati, the University of Cincinnati's baseball team has decided to do, removing longtime Cincinnati Reds owner Marge Schott's name from their field. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, it all started, probably a little bit after the George Floyd death, and then, you know, you had the protests around the country. There was a petition that got started by a few players on the baseball team. They looked more into Marge Schott's background. You know, a lot of them are young guys and probably weren't familiar with them, and, you know, not all of them are from Cincinnati. So they started passing that around, and they thought they should change the name of the stadium. Kevin Youkilis, who played at the University of Cincinnati, joined on and was kind of one of the most vocal supporters of it. Josh Harrison and two, some other MLB guys. So that kind of got the ball moving. And then you see it a little bit more around town. There's even Santa Ursula, an all-girls high school in the area, took Marge Schott's name off a couple of their buildings. So it's been something that's been brewing a little bit, and then it came to a head today when the Board of Trustees voted to remove it.
Now, is she donating money to the university or no?
She did. When they named it after her, it was after she had died. But the university got $2 million right before they decided to name the stadium after her. And then I think they still got, you know, a few contributions from her foundation in recent years.
And that's what I guess my question is, will they continue to take her money?
Yeah, that's the question they haven't really answered yet. kind of the burning question.
Yes.
The foundation, for their part, they did say about a couple weeks ago when Santa Ursula, the all-girls high school, took the name off, that they supported, if schools wanted to take the name off, they were okay with that.
Right.
And they thought people, you can't really distance yourself away from what she had said in the past.
Right.
Obviously, Cincinnati took the money after that happened.
Right.
Which, put themselves in this own position. But the foundation, for their part, said they kind of really have no problem with people deciding to take the Marge Schott's name off of it.
So I'm Bobby Nightingale Jr. here on the Wendy's Big Show. What about her name and likeness around the actual ballpark for the Cincinnati Reds? Is her name or likeness anywhere around that ballpark in which fans may want to get rid of that as well?
No, nothing like you saw at the University of Cincinnati. The most controversial one at the Reds ballpark is probably a Pete Rose statue, who's had his own off the field stuff. I'm surprised that it hasn't came to a head on its own in that way too. And everything that's kind of happened throughout his career, but nothing related to Marge Schott in that type of naming capacity.
And when you start looking at everything that's going on, right? I mean, I understand, and everybody knew about Marge Schott way before this, and is do you think it's more reactionary than anything else by the university?
Yeah, I think partially. I mean, I think you're seeing it a little bit more. You saw the Minnesota Twins took their owner's statue down, Calvin Griffith. So you're seeing it a little bit more. I think it's easier to do when an owner is dead, compared to if they were alive and they could fight for it. I do think that kind of has a way, it kind of changes perception a little bit. And it's just a conversation, I think, that a lot of people are having now that they didn't in the past, where you just took money and you named it after people. Now you're getting a lot more questions on why did you name something after people.
The other thing about this, too, is because of the George Floyd thing and everything that's happened since then, we've talked about everybody that's been marching in these different protests around the country. And I made the statement that it seems to me like there's a lot more NBA players involved with these protests than there are in the NFL, MLB, or NHL. For you guys in Cincinnati, did you guys see Cincinnati Reds players involved in any of this?
There's been players who have spoken out. I mean, they have two black players. They've both spoken out. And you also have a few white players that have kind of matched donations and that type of thing. A few have gone to protests. but nothing certainly on the level that I think the NBA kind of, among all sport leagues, is kind of leading the charge compared to everybody else.
When we talk about the negotiations going on right now, and we're anxiously awaiting for baseball to officially announce that this thing is going to get going again, waiting for the players to sign off on the health protocols and everything else in this contract. For you, do you think it could have been handled much worse from a players and owners perspective in the last month or so?
I don't think so. I mean, you almost hear the news like yesterday was. They didn't say the sport was back, but they, you know, they're at the 1 yard line of saying, you know, this is when we're going to start the season. And the collective reaction from fans is basically, you know, who really cares at this point? I think it just it was tone deaf to kind of drag the negotiations as long as they did, and to end up in a place where they didn't even really come to an agreement. It was more of the owners, you know, kind of imposed the season on the players, and the players were happy to see 60 games instead of 40 games. But the fact it kind of dragged out publicly the way it did, I think there is some damage that was done. I don't think it's, you know, I still think fans will come back and fans will still watch the sport, but it was an ugly few months for baseball, especially when you consider they have to negotiate a new CBA after the 2021 season.
You know, the other thing, too, about this, from a Brewers perspective, we've talked about it. It looks like the DH is going to be involved on the National League for this year and probably only this year. It's not negotiated in for the 2021 season. And here in Milwaukee, we're like, hey, this is good. Got Ryan Braun, his old behind can go in there and play DH, and we can get Garcia out there in the outfield with Yelich and Kane, and everything's good here with the Brewers. From a Cincinnati Red perspective, with some of these rule changes, a shortened season, everything else, how are you guys viewing how this stacks up for the Reds?
I think the Reds are one of the teams that are most well-equipped to handle it just because they signed Nick Castellanos in January. They didn't really have a place to put him, and now this is kind of the perfect, you can use him or somebody else as a DH. You know, Mike Moustakas, who they signed as a second baseman. Well, if you want to have, you know, if you find a better defensive second baseman at some point, you can move him to DH. So I think it just gives them a lot more options. They signed a bunch of hitters this offseason, and now, you know, instead of having to shuffle around playing time, there's at least more at-bats to go around.
Any chance of Yasiel Puig coming back to Cincinnati? I saw some Brewer fans going, well, take him and put him in at the DH or in a corner outfield spot with Braun.
No, I can't see that just because, you know, he's a guy that wants to play every day, and I don't think they have the everyday at-bats. And, you know, Castellanos is a better bat than he was. I did see that he turned down a chance to play in the Korean League, which kind of tells you, you know, how far he's fallen a little bit, just the fact that, you know, Korean teams are the ones that he's entertaining offers from.
How has been the talk as far as not having a minor league season this year and what it means to the Reds? Because you guys are a small market, just like Milwaukee, and rely on that farm system development year to year.
Yeah, and I think just like, you know, Milwaukee, they don't have a bunch of, you know, top prospects that are, you know, right at the major league level or close to the major league level. So it's one of those where it's not a waste of an entire year, but you lose a lot of development. And there's a lot of guys that could have taken a jump forward this year. Maybe you saw more velocity. Maybe a hitter got a lot better. And then unfortunately, you know, they just lose out on it. And, you know, for teams that don't traditionally spend a ton of money in free agency, the Reds did last offseason. I know the Brewers have. They've been opportunistic in some of the deals they've done. You know, it hurts when you can't develop guys at the pace that you'd like to.
He is Bobby Nightingale Jr., beat writer for the Cincinnati Inquirer, covering the Reds. Bobby, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. You take care. There he is, Bobby Nightingale Jr. on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Bobby.
As your passion outgrown your home, a Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Coming up on the other side, we just talked about it. It looks like the DH is coming to the National League for this season. Do you like the Brewers' postseason chances, especially with a shortened season, a new DH? Does this all line up well for your Brewers? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan.